Well, greetings this evening again in the precious name of Jesus. We're glad for this opportunity to share together. Appreciate the thoughts, the songs we sang, the inspiration it is, and all too often for all of us. Like I said, each evening I thought I'd like to share a few things in relation to maybe some songs, but I'm always interested in relation to, you know, songs we sing, and I often think, you know, what inspired or what prompted these writers to write those songs. And you know, when you stop and think, you know, it's songs that express our feelings. It's songs that express our hope, and it just puts our thoughts together. And you know, I'm so glad that God has used men and women of old to pen words and keep and put music to them. You know, that just brings out our feelings. Like I said, you know, whether it's the songs we sang tonight, you know, think of the home over there, or there's rest. You know, we think about heaven in various aspects, because in various aspects at various times. You know, sometimes when we're lonely, we think about the no parting over there. Sometimes when we're weary and tired, we think of the rest over there. And sometimes maybe when we're, sin is pressing hard, then we think about there'll be no sin over there, and we'll sin no more. You know, that is, you know, and I suppose, I know for myself, I just think, you know, all these aspects are so precious for us to think about. But you know, while we're here, and while we're waiting, and while we're working here, you know, there's work for us to do. And but then there's songs that that express our feelings and meet our needs. And as we blend, it's a way of blending our voices together and sharing together. And it's so beautiful. And like I said, I mean, I enjoy looking at various hymns and the stories, and, you know, and what prompted them. And tonight I'm thinking about one. It's Joseph Skeven. And he was a man in Ireland in the mid-1800s. A man with abilities, a man that was being used. But he was a man of sorrow, a man of disappointments. In fact, you know, he was, when you stop and think, you know, it has happened a few times, I guess, in my lifetime. I've known people like that. But this young man, you know, like the rest of us, he was looking forward, and he had a friendship, and he had a relationship with a young sister. And he was looking forward to marriage, and only to The night before their wedding, she drowned. And it just seems like his heart was broken, almost beyond repair. And trying to put things together. And finally he decided the best way would be if he just put some miles between him and this incident. And so he left Ireland and came to Canada. And but you know, the miles didn't erase his sorrow and disappointment. He worked for various people, various times, various places, was useful, but he was a man of sorrow. And worked for a family, worked for various ones, but after a while, he developed a relationship with another young sister. And a little while before they got married, she got TB, tuberculosis, and that wedding didn't materialize, and she died before they got married. You know, you just stop and think, young couples this evening, how would that be? Us old ones also, how would that be? Again, he was a man of sorrow, and just disappointment. He tried to collect himself, and he was useful, and but he just gave his life for service. He never did get married. But with those two disappointments, and then later on, he, like I said, it was a life of service. A lot of things could be said, but he did give a life of service to the church, and he was a lay minister. He preached, and it says that some of the writers say about him that when he preached, he said his face shone like an angel. And he often, and maybe not all the time, but very, very often, he would preach on the love of Christ. And, you know, he didn't charge God foolish because of what happened. And he preached, it seemed like his main message was various aspects of the love of Christ. And But one time, through his sorrow and through his disappointment, he wrote this hymn that we often sing, and that has been an inspiration, that has been an encouragement to many a people, and that is, what a friend we have in Jesus. You know, he lost his close friends, he lost his romance, he says, and what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Can you just picture that man in Ireland? Can you picture that man up there in Canada? You know, and he says sometimes he was withdraw himself, but then he, you know, got on top. But he wrote these words, and he says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear, and grief he did have. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I think him and God became good friends. You know, it says, oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And I like to challenge each one of us here tonight. You know, do we bear some pain needless because we don't share with God, because we don't pour out our heart? And he says, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. He says, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I have to say, I fail sometime. You know, I'm sure that most of you, or maybe all of you, we've found that, you know. Maybe we're discouraged, maybe we're a little bit down sometime. But, you know, but there's a refreshing when we take it to the Lord in prayer. Then it says, can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. And y'all, I can just picture that man. And these words just mean more as we think about that. And I trust that you would find this same Jesus as your comfort, as your companion, as your friend, like Joseph did here in the midst of his sorrow and grief. There's probably nobody here, maybe. At least I don't know all of you, but probably nobody has maybe quite what he did, but maybe some close to it. But I trust that we can find this friend in Jesus. And I'd like to think about that tonight for my message. But before we do that, let's... number 350 in your books, and let's just stand and sing that song, and I trust that you'll find that Jesus the same way. Number 350.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to friends.
I trust tonight, if you're a young person and maybe your dreams have been shattered a bit, or maybe things aren't working out just the way you thought, and I trust that you'll find this friend, Jesus, precious to you. I trust that you've taken him in your boat across life's sea. You know that he's your companion, he's your friend, because he wants to be that. Maybe you're older here this afternoon, maybe you're middle-aged, maybe you're in the heat of the day of raising family. Or maybe you're a young couple, and maybe some of your things haven't planned out the way you planned. It doesn't matter who we are. Maybe you're older, and some of the dreams have been shattered. And I trust that each one can find this Jesus like Joseph did here. And because he wants to do that. He wants to do that for each one. And that's my thoughts tonight. I like to think about Jesus again tonight. You know, We visited various people in the last while here, maybe not so much since we're here, but you know, we visited a widow, and in our time of she's readjusting, and she said, you know, she's finding Jesus a very precious friend. He's finding, you know, he says, what would I do without him? Or we visit with people that have lost loved ones, and it says, well, what would it be like, you know, if we wouldn't have this Jesus to go with us and help us in our everyday things? And or we can talk various ways. But you know, sometimes I think maybe we look at him a little bit too much. Like somebody once said, you know, we use God a little like a lawyer. You know, when we're in trouble, we need a lawyer. And so we use him. But you know, friend, tonight, he's more than a lawyer. He's a constant friend. He wants to walk with you every day. He wants to meet your needs tonight. He wants to soothe your sorrows. He wants to help you with your disappointments. He wants to put your dreams back together again. You know, that's what he's interested in each one of us tonight. It doesn't matter whether we're a young person or whether we're an older person. You know, that's what he wants to do tonight. And so I trust tonight that we use him more than when we have a time of sorrow and a time of disappointment and when we're in need or something like that. But he's a constant companion. He's a constant friend that you can walk with him every day. And so tonight, my title of my message is The Work of Christ Present. That's what I like to think about tonight. And like I said, we talk about, you know, what Jesus has done. And I think maybe this is a side of it that maybe we don't talk about enough. Because I think when we see of what he has done and what he is doing and what he wants to do for us, you know, I think it helps us to respond to a life of service and a life of obedience unto him. But I wonder sometimes maybe if we don't talk about his work present enough. You know, so therefore, you know, we kind of take our own way and we kind of go our own way. You know, somebody that does a lot for us, you know, we have a different feeling towards them, do we not? And that is, and I wonder sometimes, is that our trouble? We don't talk about it enough, that maybe our youth sometimes don't catch the gleam or the vision, and they live their own life and so forth, or middle-aged also. You know, all ages, I should say. But, you know, we think about this. And when we think about what he is doing for us presently, I think it helps us. I know there's people that come along and say that after all, he says, you work people and so forth. Well, I'm not intimidated by that, because I believe when I think of what he has done for me and what he is doing for me and what he will do for me, you know, friend, you know, we ought to give our all unto him, should we not? Of course we should. But, you know, sometimes we just kind of think, well, yeah, when, you know, when we lose a loved one, our dreams are shattered, or then, you know, then we call on him. No, I trust that it's a constant thing, and I trust that somehow I can impress this on your mind tonight. You know, we don't earn our salvation, not at all, but as we have benefited, then we respond to that. You know, it's a little like that slave, and I'm sure you heard that story many a time. You know, and finally, when Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, and they were done. Maybe this was before they were freed, but you know, he was on the block, and the price was going up, you know. And you know, finally there was a bidding, and finally the hammer came down, and he was sold. And the buyer simply said, you know, he says, you can go free. He said, I bought you to set you free. And he simply, that colored man came over there and bowed down to him, and he says, I'll serve you the rest of my life. You know, that's, Jesus did more than that for us, because that was only for time. But you know, what we serve is for eternity also. And so this evening, like I said, I think when we see the work of Christ present, it helps us to respond right. And so somehow I like to impress on your minds and help us to see. We talk about the Christ's work, past, salvation. Very good. Enjoy talking about it. And we ought to talk about it. And then we think about His Christ's work present. You know, the intercessory work and what He does for us and what He is doing for us. You know, that, and that's maybe a section in between that we don't talk about enough. We talk about the future. You know, we sang about that tonight, and Brother Philip talked about it, and we look forward to that, and that is good. But you know, it's more than past and future, but it's present also. And I think we need to think about that tonight. And that's what I like to think. As we think about this, we want to think of the work of Christ present. And I'd like to share a few things with you, and somehow hoping that you can catch my vision and my burden tonight on each one. Because it does make a difference. It does make a difference when we see what He is doing. You know, every time we pray, every time we have a prayer and we end it in the name of Jesus, you know, it's something He's doing present for us today. Because if it wasn't for that, our prayers wouldn't go higher than the ceiling. It wouldn't amount to anything. Because He's the only avenue that we can reach our Father. Through Him, He said He's the door. He's the only way. That's the only thing that can do that. And so, like I said, we just kind of take it for granted and we go our way. Friends, tonight, let's look at it. And so, and then we think about His, you know, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about the high priest. Well, that's what we mean about that. You know, it talks about a mediator. And it talks about intercessor, you know. How often do we think about the intercessory work? You know, like I said, our prayers or anything. You know, Jesus is the one, He is the one that stands between God and man. You know, because we see the holiness of God and we see His righteousness and we look at ourselves as our sinfulness. And we're so far apart. And is there nobody in between? You know, of course there is. It's the man, Christ Jesus, that's in between. That when that when God reached down His hand and we reached up and finally He put us together, you know, it's the only one, you know, that we can come to Him. You know, that's why He ought to be precious. You can see why the Apostle Peter said, the precious blood, the precious name, and all those words, you know. Yes, it is tonight, friend. You know, we can see why Job cried out, you know, when he was, it seemed like God was far away from him. It seemed like Satan was tempting him beyond measure, you know. And then he cried and said, oh, he said, is there no daysman here? You know, somebody between God and man to bring us back together again. Of course there is. It's the man Christ Jesus. And my question is why don't we get more enthused about serving Him when He's done so much for us? Isn't that right, friend, tonight? Of course it is. You know, we can also see Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. We can see why he cried out like he did. And again, you know, he saw straying Israel. He saw the straying people, Abraham's children, the one that God loved, the one He came to save, you know. And they turned their backs on Him. They weren't responding to His love. They weren't responding to His commandments. You know, and then Jeremiah cried out and says in 27 there, in Jeremiah 27, it always says, if there were a prophet, if there was somebody to stand in the gap here between a holy God and sinful man. You know, but it's the man Christ Jesus that brought us together again, friend. Are you together with Him? And, you know, when we think of what He's done, and we think of where we would be without Him, you know, why don't we respond better? And I'm not scolding you. I realize it's my own self. You know, we're all together in this, are we not? And so as we think, whether it's Job or whether it's Jeremiah crying out, he said, oh, if there's a man, if there's a prophet, if there's a daysman here, you know, that can reach up and reach down and bring us together again and connect us, you know, it's a little like electric. If we don't come together, there's no power there. But, you know, and so they cried out. But friends, tonight, I like to tell you, yes, there was a cry out for a man to stand in the gap. And I like to tell you tonight, we're living in that time. We're living in that time, you and I. And that's why the book of Hebrews is a better book. It's a better time. In the Old Testament, yes, there was In the old time, there is a distance here. But we're living in a better time. A time that somebody brought this together, you know. Isn't that wonderful? It's not by the blood of gold, bulls and goats and sheep and that kind of thing. But it's Jesus Christ. And we're living in that time. I'm glad to live in this time, aren't you? Because, you know, what would it be like to live without that daysman that brings us together? And so as we think about this, I'd just like to think a little bit in relation to this. And that is, when Jesus was on this earth, you know, what he did and how he brought them together. And I'd just like to turn over to the book of Luke, chapter 22 and verse 32 there. Here we have this, of course, at the close of his earthly ministry here. And to see what Jesus did for his for his disciples here in Luke 22 and verse, start reading in verse 31, I believe it is. It says, the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Of course, this is right, you know, the Last Supper before he went to, before the garden there. And it says, the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And he said unto him, of course, then Peter came on, he was rather overconfident here. And Jesus said, hey, don't be so confident here. He said, before the crop crows, he said, you're going to deny me thrice. And of course, that's what he did. And he says, but the point that I want here is, it's, you know, when Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, but I have prayed for thee. And did you know, friend, tonight, Jesus is still doing that. You know, we can put your own name in there, and he said, Satan hath desired to have you. But we have one on the right hand of God, on the throne of God, you know, interceding for us that your faith fail not. You know, it's the present work of Jesus Christ tonight. And it's a thing that I'm sure we don't think about it. I'm sure that we don't talk about it enough. I'm sure we maybe sometimes you almost forget that. But that's what Jesus did for Simon, and he is doing that for you and I tonight, if we're ready to do that next to ask him. And so when I think of this, you know, that your faith fail not. And so we can also turn over to, well, then in verse 34 it says, and he said, I tell you to Peter that cocks shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And it's simply Jesus' interest in Simon, and Jesus has no less interest in each one of us. It doesn't matter if you're the youngest Christian here this evening, if you're the oldest saint here this evening, Jesus has an interest in you, and he is interceding for you. Yes, he is. That's one part of his work that he is doing for us today. And it's so precious, is it not? We can turn over to the book of John also, and there we see again and again, you know, of his concern for us. John 14, maybe just a few verses I'd like to share with you. John 14 and verse 16, and he says, and I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You know, his interest in us. He didn't want to leave us by ourselves. He didn't want to leave us lonely. He didn't want to leave us out in this desert land, this dreary land of this earth by ourselves. But he said, I'll send the comfort of the Holy Spirit, you know, to be a comfort, to be a guide, to be a help to you, so you can make it to glory, so you don't fall by the wayside, so your life isn't a shipwreck, you know, not at all. He said, I prayed. And the comfort is here. It's the present work of Jesus, what he's doing for us today. Then we could turn over to John 17, that high priestly prayer, and it's a beautiful one. We don't have time to read it all. But in verse 9, he says, and I pray for them, and I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all thine are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified by them. Friend, tonight, you know, Jesus said, he says, I'm sure he has an interest in that, but you know, he had a special interest in his family. You know, isn't that the same way we are tonight ourselves? Yes, you know, we're interested in the whole world, we're interested in all mankind, but our family is extra special, and I think John 17 is a special message to a special people, his own family, and that includes you and I tonight. When we think of what he's doing for us, why is it so hard to respond to such a one that loves us and does so much? And that we need him all the time. And like I said, you know, yes, we talk to the widows, we talk to the sorrowing, we talk to those who are disappointed. But you know, when everything goes well, we kind of go our way and we forget it, do we not? I trust not. But, you know, that's our tendency. And with that, I think of that song, and I think of that song, I think of that author of Annie Hawks, when she simply wrote that, and I'm not quite sure why or what her situation was or what her situation was at that time, but she simply says, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. Is that your experience tonight? You know, I need thee every, no, thy tender voice like thine can peace afford. You know, that's what he's doing for you, and that's what he's doing for us, for his children this evening. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. Have you felt that? Is that your experience tonight? I trust that it is. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain, come quickly and abide, or life is vain. Do you think life is vain when you walk by yourself? Yes, it is. But you know, when we walk with the Lord and his, and we we're together on it. And you know, this Annie Hawks must have had a real relationship that just is very precious. I need thee every hour, teach me thy will, thy rich promises in me fulfill. I need thee every hour, most holy one, or make me thine indeed, thou blessed son. Then Robert Lohr added the poem, and he says, I need thee, our blessed, bless me now, my Savior, oh come, I come to thee. I think we ought to just sing a verse or two of that. It's such a precious song. It's number 354, if you want to turn your books to that. But you know, Jesus is doing that. And that song just blessed my heart as I thought of that again. That Annie Hawks, he says, I need thee every hour. Not just when I'm in trouble. Not just when I'm disappointed. Not just when my dreams are shattered. But he says, I need thee every hour. And he says, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. And I trust that's your testimony tonight. Number 354. Let's sing the first and last verse. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice can peace afford. I think of the work of Christ present. Instead, I'm not sure maybe I'll give an invitation tonight, but before we do that, I'd like to have a little response, and I'd like to have some few testimonies from you, what the Lord is doing for you today. And then maybe it might be a special time, maybe it's just an everyday thing, maybe it's a sister with burdened down with cares of life, it doesn't matter, but I'd just like for you to think and just give your testimony, and maybe your testimony will help somebody else in their time of disappointment and sorrow. And so you can think about it. When I'm done, I'm going to give you that time. But I like to look at some verses and some passages here in relation to the work of Christ present. I've been looking at a few, but I like to look at a few more. And first of all, as I like to turn to the book of Isaiah, of course, that is one we often turn to in Isaiah 53. And just look at, we won't spend much time on each one, so it doesn't get too late here. But Isaiah 53 in the last verse here. And of course, this beautiful passage here in Isaiah, the gospel of according to Isaiah. And he says, and therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressor, and he bare the sins of many, and He made intercession for the transgressor. Friends, that's you and me tonight. He is making intercession for you and I tonight. It doesn't matter who we are tonight, whether we're young or whether we're old. He is interceding in our behalf, and you know as well as I, our performance isn't that great. And we realize that we all have our flat spots. We all realize we make some mistakes. But you know, like John says, we have one that is interceding for us. When we come to that, He simply says to the Father, this is one of my children. And He has accepted me as His personal Savior. And He is one of my sons and daughters. And He says, yes, they made a mistake, but there's blood for Him. And we can stand before God just like we have never sinned. And there's nothing else that will do that, friend, tonight. He made intercession for the transgressor. You might say, well, I was born a Mennonite. I've always went to church. I'm not a bad man or like that. Friend, tonight, we're all transgressors. There's none righteous, no, not one. And He made intercession for each one of us. It doesn't matter who we are. That's a beautiful passage. I like that passage there. We also can turn over to Romans chapter 8. And there we have verses again. We'd just like to read a few and share a few with you. Romans 8 there in relation to what Jesus is doing for us. In Romans 8 and start reading verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, that intercessory work again. When I think of this, you know, it's good sometimes we go to, it's good sometimes we, maybe, I don't know if your school does it, but our school does it. We take our children to a certain grade when they study government. We take them to court, you know, and it's good for them to go and see that sometimes. Because, you know, here's somebody that transgressed, and, you know, the door opens and this man with a long black robe walks in, and lays it down and the hammer there beside, and he listens to the whole thing, you know, and finally, you know, what he says is going to be whether it means a fine or whether it means a jail or whether it means you're guilt-free or whatever. But you know, but here's a man sitting over here and he says, now judge, he says, honorable, most honorable judge, he said, this man, yes, he did that. But because of this and that, he is pleading for you. And the judge will listen. And finally he'll say, okay, well, he's still guilty. But you know, somebody was pleading, interceding for that. And he'll give the verdict. And when it's done, the hammer comes down and that's the verdict. Friend, tonight, you and I are going to stand before the judge someday, but we have one that is interceding for us today. One, a big brother, like we call him, or one that is interested in each one of us. And he said, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, and we all know about that, don't we? And then it says, in making intercession for us. And then we go on down through, and the rest of that chapter there. And then he says, you know, finally, in the latter part of that chapter, he says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, power, things present, things to come, height or depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul said, because what Christ was doing for him past, what Christ is doing for him present, what he's looking forward to him to do in the future, he said, nothing is going to separate him. Friend, I hope that's your testimony also. It doesn't matter whether it is. You know, many of us, or maybe few of any of us, have experienced the things that the Apostle Paul says here. And you know, then sometimes when I think, is it again, like I said, you know, is it because we don't see what he is doing that it's so easy? And it seems like sometimes some people sell out so cheap, you know, like Esau, you know, like we would say today, he sold out for a trip to McDonald's, you know, and sold out his inheritance, you know, so foolish. And sometimes, you know, I've seen young people, I've seen older people already, you know, when we sat down and we'd played with them, you know, that they should consider their ways. And it says, I'm going to do it. You know, selling out so cheap. But Paul says nothing. And friends tonight, if you realize what Christ has done for you past and what he's doing for us today, we can say like the Apostle Paul, I suppose, you know, if I would ever be tested like Paul was here in all these things, he says we're more than conquerors. Not only was he victorious, but he was a possessor here. And I trust that that's your experience also. Well, There's another verse in Timothy. We can go on with that. But there's another verse in Timothy chapter 2 that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I like to read also in verse 5. He says, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Isn't that a precious verse? I hope that stood out to you like it did to me. You know, we have one. It says, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and man." Like I said a while ago, you know, there was that great gap, like we sometimes sing, there's that chasm wide. And it was Jesus Christ that, you know, brings us together. You know, the holy God, you know, he can't look on sin. He can't look on this. But, you know, we have one that was a perfect sacrifice. And, you know, again I said, you know, when I looked down and when I looked up and he looked down, you know, that's when salvation came, because it's through Jesus Christ this evening. And he is doing that for us tonight. One mediator between God and man. And you might say, you know, the Jews are saying, well, we're God's children. We're Abraham's children. We're that. You know, and God's going to have to accept it. No, friend. Jesus said it's one person. That's the man, Christ Jesus. You know, it's not Allah. It's not Abraham. But it's Jesus. It's the Son of God. That's what brings us together. And friend, tonight, it is so wonderful. And I trust that you're enjoying your Christian experience. I trust that you're enjoying your walk with him. But, you know, again, I say it, and the point that I want, and that is, when I think of what he has done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do, you know, our response should be, whatever, Lord. You know, just like the Apostle Paul, there on the road to Damascus, and that light shone down and struck him down, and he says, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" You know, nothing's going to be too hard. You know, but there's some people, like I said, sell out because they don't want to cut their hair. There's some people sell out because they want this kind of music, or they want this kind of car, or they want this business, you know. They're ready to sell out. It's only for time. Let's not do it, friend. What Jesus is doing present for us today. Well, let's turn over to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is a better thing. And I just like to look at some of the things that he is doing for us today, and I trust that he can somehow... But somehow you can get a glimpse of what he is doing. Notice in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things he behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. In that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or to help them that are tempted. Friend, tonight, sometimes I think, you know, sometimes you wonder, well, why does God choose sinful men, I trust by the redeemed, you know, to preach the gospel? It'd be better if an angel would come. But, you know, Jesus, he didn't do that because he did this so he can understand your feelings. You know, sometimes young people, I guess all of us, sometimes we say, but nobody understands. Nobody understands. You know, and I realize that sometimes when we work with people, maybe we don't quite understand. But, you know, Jesus understands. He knows what we're going through. He knows what you're there. And he made provisions, enough grace, so we can be faithful. You know, it says, he took on him the seed of Abraham, that he might be, that he, making reconciliation for the sins of the people, that he himself being... has suffered being tempted, he is able to help because he understands. And I know there's this, well, just let's go on in the book of Hebrews. There's a few more here yet. It talks about that. And it's again, the work of Christ present, what we're experiencing today, that I think that ought to shake our heart, should it not? Notice in chapter 4 and verse 15, "For we have not an high priest or an advocate or the one that, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but is in all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly," or with confidence, "unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and to help in the time of need." And sometimes he says, well, in the time of need, yes, in the time of need, it doesn't matter what your situation is. And I say again, oh, friend tonight, don't let Satan deceive you. And he says, well, they just don't understand. I mean, in other words, I have a situation that is peculiar to anybody, anything else. No, it isn't. Jesus understands and he knows. And there's grace for you tonight. And again, I said, what he's doing for us presently. We can also, and let's also go over to in the chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews. there again in verse 25 and 26, and I think Paul just wrote this again and again, and all through the book of Hebrews, we can see why it's a book of better things. You know, they used to come there with a goat, and they used to come there with a lamb, you know. But you know, but now it's a better, we have one that understands, you know, the sins aren't covered, our sins are washed away. You know, that's what he's done for us tonight. And I trust that you are enjoying that. Verse 25 of Hebrews 7. Notice there it says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. It takes care of everything. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Then he goes on to say, we don't need to daily make that sacrifice. You know, again, he is able to save. And some time ago, I preached a message on able. You know, being able, you know, and there again, the work of Christ, what he has done, it's just wonderful. We have one more passage yet, and over in First John chapter 2, and verses 1 through 3. My little children, these things write unto you that he sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. And hereby do we know that we know him because we keep his commandments. Again, you know, we have one that takes care of that. And, you know, we don't believe in the eradication of the flesh. We know that we're in this flesh, and Jesus knows it too, but he gives us grace to live a life of victory. You know, sometimes Satan has us believing that, you know, because of my situation, because of, well, the unique situation that, you know, I'm allowed to kind of dab a little bit in the old mud yet, you know. No, not at all. You know, because there's grace here, and he is able to help. And so as I think of this, we can go on with this, but it's time to close. But you know, when I think of what he is doing for us today, I know it's an unseen blessing, and it's an unseen benefit, but I trust and I hope it's not an unfelt blessing. It's not an unfelt, because I hope that each one of us has experienced just that because of what we have. And, okay, who'd like to give a testimony of what the Lord is doing for us presently today? Or what he has done maybe in the past, but what he has done for you tonight. Maybe your testimony will help somebody. Maybe it's a young person's testimony that will help an older person. An older person's will maybe help, or it will all help each other. And sometimes I have been encouraged already. I have to say already that I maybe kind of, you know, wasn't quite sure about preaching or fell a little down. But, you know, somebody's testimony just inspired me and ready to go on again. And, I'm sure that it's done. And who's first to share? Who'd like to share something with us tonight? Feel free to stand up and talk. Or if you're holding a baby and you don't want to stand up, you just sit there and tell us anyhow about what the Lord has done for you. Both sides of the house, feel free. Thank you. Like I said, you know, isn't it so often when everything goes well, then we can handle life ourselves. No, we need him all the time, because that's when the devil comes. Appreciate that testimony. May the Lord bless you. Who's next? right. Thank you for that. Who's next? He's our shepherd. He's going to take care of his sheep, won't he? And the thing is, he knew that it's an unfriendly world. He knew that Satan is no match for us. And he's shepherd. He'll take care of the rod and staff will comfort me and protect me. See, there's somebody going to stand back here. Thank you for that. It's peace is past all understanding. We're glad for that. And he understands. And in fact, he's more interested in our happiness than we are ourselves, isn't it? So, okay, anybody else like to share? Thank you. Then, like the Apostle Paul said, it's only reasonable that we give our life back to Him. Because what He has done, what God is doing for us presently today, and intercession, prayer, all that. Okay, anybody else yet? Yes, that's so true. I'm glad for that testimony. Anybody else yet? We don't want to carry along, but I don't want to cut anybody off. I say again. Go ahead. Thank you. Appreciate that. Anybody else yet? Well, maybe it's sufficient. May the Lord bless. I'm sure all of you would have a testimony to share. We can well dismiss and we can share together anyhow. But again, with Annie Hawks, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. And, you know, and like you said, He really wants to give us more. I mean, just not what He has to give, but He wants to give us more. And sometimes we hinder Him for giving us really what He wants us to give, and let's not do that. May the Lord bless each one. And maybe if there's anybody here tonight, and I always hate to close without giving an invitation, maybe you made up your mind tonight that when He gives the invitation, I'm going to respond. And if that's your case, as soon as we dismiss, you just simply come and talk to me, and we'll be glad to help you. And the Lord bless each one. For those who are walking with the Lord and those who have their sins under the blood, I trust that you, again, in a new way, I trust that somehow, through the Holy Spirit, that you have gained or gleaned my concern or my burden tonight, that each one of us feels the presence and is enjoying what God is doing for us presently. And then in response, we're going to do everything for Him. And it's only reasonable that we give our body, life, soul unto Him. May the Lord bless each one.